happened last night at Tainis. All indications were from the media reports that Cyril Ramaphosa was open to resigning as state president. And then just minutes before that 8 o'clock briefing, the presidency spokesperson saying, sorry, we gave you that impression, but the president is not addressing the nation tonight. Join me now, Tsidi Madia, Eyewitness News senior political reporter. Good morning, Tsidi. It seems like you've been here before over the last, 12, 14 years in South Africa's presidential history?
Good morning, Liz. I think you're spot on. You know, as last night was unfolding, it's like the past 2 days, I kept saying to people, I honestly feel like I'm back in 2018, outside at the time, St. George's, outside the Union buildings, at times at Parliament, waiting to see as the story moves back and forth around former President Jacob Zuma. So you're very correct that we are literally watching on President Watch once again.
Cyril Ramaphosa seemingly being talked down from the ledge after there were reports that he was open to the idea of resigning, seemingly to create this distance between himself, his reputation, his presidency, and the Palapala report. Who is counseling the president?
It's a well-known thing that Ramaphosa has people who are referred to as Ramaphosa's lieutenants. I've often referred to them as the Chris Hani cabal, particularly because there are three key figures who are part of that circle who come from the Chris Hani region of the Eastern Cape. So when you look at people like Gwere Mantashe, Enoch Gondongwana, and Mondi Gugubele, particularly focusing on Mondi Gugubele at the moment, because he has moved into a position where he's a key ally of the president, you need to then think beyond that and think about people like Derek Anacom. And I think yesterday, though, what we saw are also people in government who are on his side who have been saying, you cannot go. I mean, Lester, there have been meetings for hours on end. I think today's Friday, on Wednesday evening already, as the report was being made public, there were already meetings with his key allies and virtual meetings as they were all deliberating about what to do to convince him not to go. By yesterday morning, they'd all kind of given up, saying it is impossible to convince him otherwise. He's made up his mind. We need to start thinking about a plan B. And the fact that they've been kind of deliberating and expecting that things might not go his way in the lead up to the report being made public. So they've been going back and forth looking at scenarios, but the people that you're looking at are people like Mondi Gubele, are the likes of the Oscar Mabuyanis in the Eastern Cape. These are people who have put out their, they've been clear in their standing and in their support of Ramaphosa's presidency in both the ANC and in government.
But before the presidency spokesperson came out last night, it became quite clear, sort of early evening, that the president would not be making any major announcement when the ANC's emergency NEC meeting was postponed. And as we know, everything that comes from the presidency largely comes through the ANC's NEC. What is the word from the party itself?
You know, it's been very interesting. I mean, the ANC has also been refusing to say anything. In fact, one of the NEC members said to me, you need to wait. You all need to wait for us to have our meeting, and then we can speak on from a position of authority on the matter. But what I initially understood, Lester, is that Ramaphosa was attempting to preempt that NEC. Remember, it wasn't meant to sit today, which it's doing so now. It was initially set for yesterday in the evening following Wednesday's report. And what I understood from Ramaphosa is that he wanted to go into that meeting, already have concluded what the way forward is, Lester, because immediately after the report was made public, I was inundated with calls from NEC members who are his detractors, saying it's time for him to fall on his sword. He has to go. So I understood that he would find a hostile reception at the NEC. I think he also got that too. What Ramaphosa did quite recently at the last ordinary sitting of the NEC, Lester, was to open the meeting with Palapala on the table, explaining himself. He had been refusing for months on end to explain to NEC members what transpired. At that last NEC sitting, he understood that it was going to be the big issue. So he then preempted it, tried to neutralize, in fact, he successfully neutralized them by putting it on the table himself first. My understanding behind the actions this week was he would also make a decision. It would be public. And by the time he goes to the NEC, they're neutralized and there will not be blood on the walls or the floors of the NEC because it's been dealt with. But again, the people in his corners are saying the numbers are on your side. There is a fight worthy of being had, and that the report in and of itself can be taken on judicial review, that there are avenues and instruments that he can use to fight.
Just quickly, TD, 2 weeks till the ANC's elective conference. He, as you say, is very much in the driving seat in terms of nominations for the ANC presidency. Is he staying on course to run, or has the calls now for him to step aside become louder, even warranted now following the Ngobo report?
When I speak to his insiders and his close allies and confidants, they say, should Ramaphosa resign, he definitely will not be standing for an ANC presidency yet again. There's no point in him sticking around. He doesn't need to do it either, Lester. So that's my reading of it, is that that candidature could actually just be withdrawn at the last minute. Anything is possible. And that's what makes it difficult to read the upcoming conference, so close to that conference as we speak.
TD Madia, Senior Eyewitness News political reporter, keeping us updated throughout the course of the day. I'd really love your thoughts on this. 021-446-0567. You can drop me a WhatsApp, 072-567-1567.